section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Mr. Lopez is in the news. TNA phones in from Scotland, and we talk NXT Revival. All this and much, much more on this week's Off the Mark.
This is TNA Impact referee Brian Hebner, and you're listening to Off the Mark.
86 Productions.
Episode of Off the Mark. We are the podcast that provides the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew. He is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. So what's going on with Colby, a.k.a. Seth Rollins?
A.k.a. Tyler Black. So there's a little bit of a love triangle going on here. Seth Rollins, apparently, he accidentally tweeted out a partially naked picture of a girl who is not his fiance. And so in retaliation, his fiance tweeted out two pictures of him naked. First picture, you can tell it's definitely him, but you don't see a face. Second picture, you see a face. And the reason that this is such a big deal is because it's in the middle of a huge monster push for him. And he has been very protected during this whole time. And, you know, right now, the biggest speculation, which we've been talking about for a good year now, is that he's going to win the World Heavyweight Champion, the WWE World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania. Now, you know, they're saying, oh, no, his shot isn't in jeopardy. But I kind of think it is. I think that they may push this back because it's received some bad publicity because of this.
Well, the rumor is that someone who, quote unquote, knows people in the WWE said that he was not going to cash it in until June. That's been the plan this entire time. I disagree with that. I believe that he was going to wait till WrestleMania or even Fastlane at the or Elimination Chamber is what I thought it was going to be, but we'll say Fastlane. I thought it was going to be around that time and then cash in, 1, 2, 3, he's the champion, but I guess if you're leading up to WrestleMania, you wouldn't do that. Anyways, by the way, is Elimination Chamber ever coming back?
Probably.
Okay, so this is the weird thing. I would not be surprised if he, quote unquote, gets hurt. That wouldn't surprise me at this point because this is one of those weird things that it got mainstream press recently, which is a kind of a big deal because a gentleman spent like 15 minutes on his radio show about it just the other day. I think this hurts Seth Rollins big time. Whatever he was doing in his personal life, well, this may hurt his wrestling career now. So, but he is God's gift to wrestling? Is that right?
Yeah, I believe so. I believe so. But yeah, no, I totally. I think that it is going to hurt him in the short term. Long term, you know, he is the future of WWE. He is the future of wrestling in general. And so I think that, you know, long term, he is going to be totally fine. But right now he is, you know, he needs to go into hiding. I mean, that's what he needs to do, because, you know, I would hate if I was the main guy, if I was out there on the internet like that. So
RKO out of nowhere, right? Oh, man, I feel bad for him. I really do. You know, Tyler Black, Colby Lopez, whatever you want to call him. But here's something that's not funny, and I think that DY should have thought twice before he tweeted this out, because I actually understood why. But Darren Young spoke out against the WWE recently about
the United Arab Emirates.
Correct.
And
they are completely against homosexuality in every way.
Completely. It's not just looked down upon, it is a crime. That's the biggest thing, is that it's a crime. And they treat women obviously very poorly too, but you know, being gay is way worse. So you know, and I'm saying that, you know, if you live there. And so he said, look, I don't think that we should be going there, but you know, I understand why, because it's about the money. And I get his point from a business standpoint. Absolutely, it's about the money. You know, if I'm running a business and I'm saying, look, you know, they're not doing anything that's against wrestling, so yes, I'm going to go there. I definitely understand Darren Young's point of view. I agree with it completely. He went about it by going onto Twitter, and then he immediately deleted the tweet. And WWE actually responded by saying, we, you know, support Darren Young, And, you know, he's not going to be on this tour because we want to make sure that he is safe, which is totally fine. The big thing here, though, is we need to watch what's going to happen to him over the course of the next 3 months, because if that tweet that was sent out hurts him, we're going to definitely see him on main event, maybe, or, you know, the dark match of main event. And, you know, he might get fired in the next 3 months. If that doesn't happen, then you know what? It's totally fine. But we'll have to wait and see on what happens with this.
Yeah, and they I like the fact how they actually use his real name, which I thought was intriguing. But this is one of those things. I think DY should just not even said anything. Just let it go.
No, you know what? I think for something like that, I think it's okay to say it. It's not like, oh, you guys are going to Alabama and they're against gay marriage. If he would have said that, I would have been like, dude, you know that the majority of people who like wrestling, you know, quote unquote, are, you know, Southerners who hate the gays. So, you know, you're kind of in the wrong sport then, wouldn't you say? You know, you're picking the wrong battle. You know, they may be against gay marriage. Doesn't mean they're against gay people. I think that this is actually okay for him to speak out against, you know, being that this is a central part of his life. This is who he is. And regardless of what you feel about homosexuality, you know, you may be against gay marriage, but you probably don't want gay people to die. You know, you probably don't want a law saying that if you're gay, you know, that you're going to get stoned to death. You know, you don't want something like that. And so I'm okay with him speaking out about that.
But here's how I took it. I thought it was the fact that he wasn't on the tour is what I first because I saw everything in passing. But the way I took it was, oh, he's upset because he's not on the tour. He should be happy that they're protecting him. That's how I took it at first. But then I was like, speak your mind, but don't speak your mind, you know, not against the place that you're getting employed from. So
I think it's OK. So, I mean, it sounds like we might disagree on the way he went about it.
Correct. So anyways, let's talk some WWE programming for this week. So Dustin and Cody. But don't call me Cody.
Don't call him Cody, Andy. You know better.
It looks like they're breaking up because they're even going to bring Papa on and he's going to talk to them, which I find interesting.
Yeah. So what do you think? I mean, so they had a storyline going last year with those two getting fired from WWE. And Dusty Rhodes came back in to help out. And those two got their jobs back. It was an okay storyline, but it was really cool to see to see Dustin and Cody together. You know, I think it's something that it was nice to have them win the tag titles and you know, do some really fun stuff with them. But now, though, these two are going to be feuding. Now, you, Andy, you said that you really liked Stardust, right? You were a fan of the character?
Kind of. It's one of those things where, okay, it's good for a while, but don't buy a bunch of gear with the name Stardust on the back and then keep changing it so you have like 15 different outfits. It's not that good.
Well, I'm sure that a lot of people really liked Stardust. Personally, I did not like him. I didn't care for the Stardust. The character itself was fine, but for me, I don't like those types of characters. I don't like the super bizarre out there. Like, you know, and I've said on this program before, Goldust was one of the reasons I stopped watching wrestling back in the mid 90s. You know, he was one of the reasons because I hated the character and I thought this is where wrestling is going because they were really pushing him. And so I stopped watching wrestling. You know, I was a little kid, so I was doing other things anyway. But I think that Cody coming back would be a really great thing. And I think if Cody came back and they really pushed him, you know, I don't care what role they have him in. If he's a heel or a face, I think he does well in both areas. He can go for the IC title, you know, move him on to a singles feud. You know, if he's a heel, guess what? Him and Ambrose could have some good feuds. Him and Barrett, him and Cesaro. You know, these are people that he could have really great like matches with and that they could do really cool things with. So I hope that they kind of go through this quickly. I don't think that this is a WrestleMania match, and I think that's what they're going to try to make it. I think that this is more, you know, right after WrestleMania, I think, which is Extreme Rules or something. I think it's an Extreme Rules match.
I believe that they're going to do some type of gimmick, as in make it so the whoever loses must ret- ret- retire their dust gear. That makes sense.
I don't know if they'll do that, but I bet they could do a retirement match.
Yeah, but then it's pretty obvious who's going to win.
Well, it is, but, you know, they do that stuff all the time.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, how many times did Ric Flair retire?
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't like this thing they're doing with The Miz right now and Mizdow. I find it really ridiculous.
Why do you find it ridiculous?
I think they could be going at it a different way. Because right now, Mizdow is really over. I think the most he's ever been over since he joined the WWE.
Absolutely.
And I think that they're cooling his jets. I think that in a way, like, for instance, when they're in Columbus, I like the fact that the crowd was chanting, "You're from Cleveland." And he goes, "It's better than Columbus."
Absolutely.
Which was hilarious.
I disagree with you. I don't think that they're cooling Mizdow's, or I'm going to just call him Sandow. That's what we should do. It's Sandow. You know, let's just call him
just
Sandow.
Call him Damien.
So Sandow.
Damien.
he is helping Miz to get just insane amounts of heat. And Miz has been doing a really good job too. You got to give Miz some credit here because, you know, that little thing when the crowd was saying, "You're from Cleveland," you know, which was funny because it's, you know, is that really that big of an insult? It's like, "You're from Cleveland." I get it. Cleveland's not the greatest city, but, you know, when he came back and was like, "Better than Columbus," that was amazing. And the entire arena heard that. And I hope that he got praise for that backstage because he deserved it. He really did. And Miz right now is just so hated. And that is really good for Sandow because when he finally gets his comeuppance on Miz, it's going to really help skyrocket him. Hopefully. I hope they don't Alex Riley it. I hope they actually give Sandow a proper run. You know, have him move on to a different feud. Hell, you know what? Sandow and Cody, they could go at it again.
Oh my gosh. I just realized what they're going to do. Alex Riley disappeared. Alex Riley is going to come back and be right next to Miz the entire time.
He's going to be stunned up.
You're going to have Alex Riley have to, you know, Miz Dow is going to have to take out Alex Riley to get to the Miz.
You could do that, yeah.
They could do, you know, I think they should do that. That could almost be WrestleMania. I said almost could be WrestleMania. That's a big keyword.
See, and the thing is that they have these really great feuds going on right now. This is a great mid-card feud. Rhodes Brothers is a good mid-card feud. And those are matches that on a pay-per-view, a normal pay-per-view, I would love to see. You know, so if that's on TLC, guess what? I'm watching that. And I'm going to be very excited for that mid-card feud. The problem is that they're thinking, oh, this is for WrestleMania. It doesn't have to be. Not every match has to be for WrestleMania, you know? If it is, that's fine. But that's the type of match that you could have at a normal pay-per-view, and people would want it.
Yes, of course. And I'm interested to see where they go from this, at least where they're at right now with this. So Sting actually responds to Trips, finally.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Sting appear three times.
What did you think of that? The mind games that they did on Monday night.
Well, it saved an appearance that you had to burn on Sting.
Mm-hmm.
So you basically have three different guys.
No, because he appeared three different times. So technically, he has three less appearances.
He has none left. Then.
He has none left.
He used them now, all up.
What did you think though?
I thought it was kind of cool how they set that up. Now they basically were saying, "Trips, I'm going to mess with you. So this all do. I'm going to appear here. I'm going to appear here. And then I'm going to appear in the ring." The funny thing is the guy came in the ring, I was like, or Sting did, I'm sorry. I was like, "Was that a fan?" That's the first thing I thought. But then I realized, oh no, he basically took a back bump. Interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, the mind games are there. It's kind of cool how they set this up, but I really hope that Sting doesn't actually wrestle then. I think you wait to WrestleMania.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, of course that's going to happen. But the only thing I didn't like was the guy who appeared in the ring, you know, who was Sting. And the only reason I didn't like it was because you could immediately tell it was not Sting. It was without a doubt. There was not even a question of, holy crap, that Sting. It was a, you know. So I that was the thing I didn't like. He could have stayed outside of the ring, you know, or they could have done something else. They could have. I think that was a big mistake, in my opinion. I think the rest of it was totally fine. I think the psychology that they used was fine. And I think when the pay-per-view happens and we see those two in the ring face-to-face, I think it's going to be pretty cool. But I think that they made a mistake with that personally.
No, he could have actually appeared. It seemed like he was getting into the ring still when they flashed the light. Mm-hmm. That's why I wish that if you'd have been just standing there with, like, you know, like a hood up, if that makes sense. And then, like, people like, oh, and then it cuts to him, you know, hiding underneath the ring for the rest of the show. That I would have been fine with that. But yeah, you're right. You could tell it was not him.
Yeah.
Pretty obvious. Okay. So I don't understand the whole dynamic with Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. I don't get how they keep throwing these guys at each other, because, yeah, you know what's going to happen at the pay-per-view, you know, coming up here in a few weeks, but I don't care about the pay-per-view now. I just don't care. I think that if Roman Reigns does go to WrestleMania to face Brock Lesnar, I just don't care about it. Just don't care, because I know that Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns cannot put on a match.
I know that there's been talk that they are changing the script, but I think that it's set in stone, in my opinion. I think that the main event for WrestleMania is Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar. And even if they put Daniel Bryan in there, I don't think that's really going to help it. And I don't see that being that special anyway, to be honest. I think it's going to be Roman Reigns. And I think that, you know, and obviously they've done this before, you know, Roman Reigns wins and then Seth Rollins cashes in, you know, and spoils the parade and becomes a super heel. That way, when Lesnar leaves, which I think Lesnar is going to be gone, I think if he re-signed, Lesnar doesn't need to re-sign with WWE now, because in 5 years from now, people are still going to see him as a monster. If he goes back to UFC or any form of MMA right now, he is in peak physical condition. If he goes to MMA in 10 years, he's not. So he has a very fine window to go back to MMA. I think he's going to go back after WrestleMania. And then he'll leave on good terms with WWE and come back, you know. But I think that this is Roman Reigns to win. I don't think Daniel Bryan's going to be a part of it. I think their match at Fastlane is probably going to be a decent match, though. And I think it's going to be because of Bryan. I think Bryan's going to help put Reigns over and make him more believable as a wrestler, which is something that Daniel Bryan had said to him in the ring. He's like, I'm a wrestler. You know, that's what I do. You are just bigger and stronger. That's it. So that's what I think is going to happen with this.
I'm going to spoil something for you. So I watched some of Roman Reigns' matches before he was Roman Reigns, of course. And here's something funny. Each time they put him with someone, he was basically just told, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to do. Do this to me. And that was it. He's never really had a match against someone who also couldn't call a match, Brock Lesnar. I think there's going to be a big reality check, and I think that this match will stink.
I disagree. This is their baby. This is their baby. Roman Reigns will get pulled from house shows, so him and Lesnar, they're going to practice the crap out of this. And, you know, Reigns is going to miss those house shows just so that way they can do the practice, and it's not going to be that bad. In my opinion, it's going to be like Hogan Warrior WrestleMania 6, which was not a horrible match. You know, honestly, it's actually one of Hogan's best matches.
But see, Hogan also can call a match. What I'm getting to is that Brock Lesnar doesn't really know how to feed off the crowd. In order to make this match successful, you got to bring a ref in there that actually, I take that back. They do have a ref that was a former wrestler. You could have that guy basically call the match, but he's also in NXT. So you have to bring, I think it's Drake Younger. I think his name is. You have to bring him up just to be the ref for that match. You almost have to have Daniel Bryan or someone like John say you need a wrestler as the special guest referee in that match, because you can only feed someone lines for so long before they screw it up. And I believe that this match is going to be horrible. And when it's horrible and when everyone comes on to the recap show, I'm going to say, hey, told you guys.
I disagree. I don't think it's going to be as bad as you're expecting it. But we're going to be talking about this for the next, what is it, 6 weeks? So
I'll keep pointing out how bad it's going to be.
I'm optimistic. You're pessimistic.
That's right. So anyways, let's thank our sponsor, HostGator. Are you a blogger or podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web host? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. HostGator offers unlimited space, unlimited bandwidth, one-click script installs, a free site builder, and hands down the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo, see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code OFFTHEMARK, you're going to save 25% off your web hosting packages. So what do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Also, make sure you check out Section 86's Off the Mark page and click on the banner at the top to save big on items from WWEShop.com. Let's talk some Impact Wrestling this week. So they're actually in Scotland for this taping. And they're just continuing basically the Beatdown Clan storyline. Starts and closes Impact Authority. You want to say that? What are your thoughts on this, man?
Yeah, so, you know, some actually you brought up them being overseas. You know, as we had talked about last week, Jeff Hardy took that nasty bump. And then, you know, this week they're overseas. And, you know, some of the spoilers are out there. There are some people who are debuting or re-debuting for TNA who are doing short stints, which I think is actually really great. In particular, this week, Grado, who is pretty beloved by the IWC. And so it was kind of cool to see him on there. Very small thing. But as you had mentioned, the Beatdown Clan, they're continuing this storyline, even though last week the technically Team Angle had vanquished them. You know, for whatever reason, you know, they're still here. MVP is asking for a title shot. And then we get, you know, Samoa Joe and MVP against Angle and Lashley to end the show. Personally, I'm exhausted from this storyline, and it's only been going on for a month. I'm exhausted from it already. That's how I feel about this.
You know what the sad thing is? When they were probably writing this, they were like, you know what? This will actually be great. We can, you know, get this going for the next 3 or 4 months. It's going to be great. But then it's almost, you keep seeing those guys over and over again. It's like you couldn't just have a couple of them, then have kind of like an NWO where the couple join here and there, and then you stop. Say, we're not going to make this like some other place, make fun of the NWO. But instead, it's just got to the point, like you said, exhausting. I'm sick of it. Let's move on.
Yeah,
that's it.
So, Andy, Matt Hardy and Storm exchange words, and then
Lance Storm?
They start. Yeah, Lance Storm.
Okay.
James Storm. And they started battling. And so the Revolution came out and, you know, started beating up on Matt Hardy until the Wolves came out and they made a save. And so it looks like we're going to be getting, you know, some 6-man tags going on here that'll help keep Matt alive while Jeff is at home not doing drugs, hopefully.
Well, I mean, of course, that's why he's not there, but we'll never, you know, they'll never discuss that's the reason why.
Actually, you know what? So I don't think we've ever talked about. Are you glad to see Matt Hardy back in TNA?
I liked him better in Ring of Honor. I mean, no matter how I look at it, he's better in Ring of Honor. And I know that he thinks that I'm getting better exposure. He might be, but the way I look at it, no. I actually wish that he'd be back in Ring of Honor. I thought that everything that was going on in Ring of Honor was way better than the stuff that's going on in TNA.
You know, I like it personally. I think that he's been doing a pretty good job. You know, Matt Hardy has done a very good job of staying current and not being like, ugh, it's Matt Hardy again. You know, I think about like the Big Show, you know, whenever I see him, I'm just like, oh, it's the Big Show, you know, I said it was exhausting. The BDC, Big Show is the most exhausting person in the entire world to ever see on TV. He is an attraction no doubt about it, but he is just exhausting because they put him in horrible storylines. And with Matt Hardy, he has stayed current from when he was with the Hardy Boys, when he went to V1, when he went to TNA, Ring of Honor, back to TNA. He has always remained current and fresh. And I think that's something that speaks not only to the writing, but also to the character and the person playing that character. So it is really cool to see him in TNA, and it's actually cool to see him in the storylines that they're interweaving with James Storm, the Wolves, and even with the Dudleys, you know, when they were doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, dude, you're a big Matt Hardy mark. You're probably sitting there going, oh, dude, you know, I just like seeing him on TV.
Well, I'm trying to think of a V1 fact, but yeah, the V1 stuff was pretty awesome. But then when they stopped doing the V1, of course, that's when he left. Yeah. Kind of stunk.
So anyway, Andy, Tyrus and EC3 defeated Rockstar Spud, Jeremy Borash, and Andrews, who is the winner of the most recent British boot camp. What are your thoughts on them even having Jeremy Borash? You know, obviously he didn't do anything, but what are your thoughts even having him in a match against Tyrus and Ethan Carter?
You know, okay, Borash is probably the most respected non-wrestler to the wrestlers than anyone ever has been. We're talking ring announcers, you know, ring crew. Some of those guys, no matter what you hear from the wrestlers, they'll make fun of them how they're just that guy. But everyone's always respected Jeremy Borash because he has the passion. He can never do it, but he always promoted it. He just had that passion for it. I'm wondering if maybe he said, this would be kind of cool at some point in my career if I was in a storyline. I could see that. Or maybe they're like, hey, let's do this to you. And they're like, hey, we're going to write this over so many shows, which I hope they're done with it now. But it just seemed like shaving his head, like he's taking one for the team, because if they needed something shock value, he did it. This, to me, doesn't make sense. Unless that he was going to turn on Spud, then it would make sense. But he didn't.
Yeah, but he doesn't need to be involved in these storylines, though, anyway. I mean, that's my biggest thing, is Jeremy Borash is, he doesn't need to be there.
No, I mean, he can do the ring announcing stuff, that's fine.
Oh, yeah. I'm saying he doesn't need to be in the any storyline.
No.
None of that.
You don't need to. I mean, he would come out and, you know, hype the crowd, of course, when we've seen TNA live. He always comes out and promotes things and, like, gets the crowd hyped up and is always promoting. That's his job. And by the way, he's also the one he actually edited the British boot camp the first season. He did it all on a laptop, believe it or not. So I still find that interesting that he did that. Anyways,
that's pretty cool.
I just don't see the point of this. All right, EC3, he looks good. This is to the point where EC3 needs to lose. They need to push him to lose because he hasn't yet. He hasn't lost a match. Now,
yeah, but who
time.
Does he lose to, though? Who does he lose to?
Up and comer. Can't be Spud. That's one thing. Can't be Andrews.
No.
It has to be someone else. And it can't be Jeremy Borash either. It's almost like you got to have some guy that's up and coming, that's almost there. You know, if he lost to Lashley, that's fine. But, you know, they're on completely different storylines. So,
what do you Yeah. Doing? So anyway, Andy, we had recently seen NXT's newest special event, or pay-per-view, as I like to call it. And I want to ask you, so what was it? It was NXT Arrival, or Takeover Rivals.
Takeover Rival, Takeover 4, if you want to get technical. Yep.
So first things first, let's dive right into it. Finn Balor is your new number one contender. He defeated Adrian Neville in what I thought was an amazing match.
I would say the best match of the night, too.
I would agree.
I think that they didn't phone it in. They didn't not either. There wasn't a guy who was more powerful than the other. They just put on a great match. A lot of counter, which I like. I like that stuff. I like when they when they counter, which is pretty cool. You know, it's one of those things. The fact that you could tell Neville's leaving. I mean, at least to me, I could just see that Neville is on his way to the main roster now. Because why would you have him lose two big matches like that? So I believe that he's gone.
I don't know. I think that he might stick around for a little bit. Okay. My feeling about it is this. You had Bo Dallas get called up because they were like, oh, he's ready. He is so ready. So we got to bring him in. And they brought him up, and Vince hated his gimmick, and he really hated the wrestler. And so he pretty much got de-pushed. You know, he did very little, you know, and he hasn't been doing anything since. You know, granted, he's been injured, but I don't see him doing a whole lot there. And I think his gimmick worked very well in NXT. I think Neville would be a different story, but I imagine that Vince is very wary of that and thinking, you know what, I'm only going to bring up people who are going to fit my criteria. Bo Dallas wasn't one of them. Adrian Neville is definitely not one of them. I think Sami Zayn is going to be a fight to get up there. I think that Triple H, and this is so sad to say, but I think Triple H would be in Sami's corner saying, oh, Vince, you got to take him. You got to take him. He's really great. You know, I think Kevin Owens is somebody that he would like, you know, Finn Balor also. So I think Finn would be somebody who would get called up before Neville, in my opinion.
Well, yeah, I mean, I agree with that. I think Hideo would actually get called up before Neville too, but it's like, what are they going to do with Neville? That's the thing. He's small. That's the problem. What do you do with small guys? So you keep him in NXT pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's basically what NXT is. You know, yeah, I hate to say it.
It's filled with that right now, but also NXT, the people who are watching NXT are their hardcore wrestling fans. They're the people who want to see a wrestling match and not the same old match that you're going to see every week on Raw or SmackDown if you watch that. And that's the thing. I think Neville will stay, but to me, it seems like he's on his way out. That's what I think is going to happen. But Finn Balor is your new number one contender for the NXT title. Came out doing, I say it's the Venom gimmick. I think it's very similar. It's probably not trademarked as Venom, but
no,
it pretty much is though.
Yeah.
Overall, yeah, like we said, match was good. Sasha Banks faced Bayley, Charlotte, and Becky Lynch, and she beat all three of those ladies, and not herself, of course, and she became the new women's champion.
She didn't beat herself. You are correct,
yeah,
Eddie.
She didn't, because
astute observation. Yes,
but she did. She actually pinned Charlotte. She had in her a crossface. I can't even think of what it's called, but that's her finishing move. It's similar to a crossface, and then she got the 1-2-3 on it, which I thought was like, wow, that's interesting. Why would she pin her?
Yeah, it was actually pretty cool, I thought, the way that they went about it, because a lot of times you would see that spot be done, and you know, she had her in the submission, and Charlotte was able to get out. And so she put her into a pin, and Charlotte was unable to get out of that. And a lot of times you'd see her kick out and then be like, oh, okay, you know, the match is going to continue. And they didn't, which was kind of neat. You know, it was neat to see them keep going. But what happened here, though, was Sasha Banks, who has been a bully, has been a really great heel, was finally able to capture the women's title in a very convincing manner. And she is somebody who... in the Divas division, let's be honest here, okay? We had Paige, who is, you know, very goth and very much does not look like the Divas. You have AJ Lee, who looks a little bit like him, but is, you know, not completely. You know, she's a little bit punky looking, you know, can talk on the mic. But realistically, the rest of them look kind of similar. They're a little cookie cutter. And I like Natalia, but... even her, you know, she looks a little bit like him, like everybody else, and everything else is really cookie cutter. So when you have Sasha Banks, who is very different, having her win, I think was actually a really good idea. She is somebody who would be ready to be a part of the Divas division, not just because I think that she is ready, but because she is such a different look and a different feel for the Divas that it would turn heads and make people go, oh, that's different. That's very interesting. You get to see Sasha going up against a Bella twin. You get to see her going up against Summer Rae, or, you know, against Natalya, or whomever else. You know, you get to see her go up against people who would be different types of matches. And I think that would be very interesting.
But the thing is, though, but Charlotte also looks like most divas.
Exactly. No, I 100% agree. That's why I think Sasha is better. Even Bayley, who looks different.
Bayley's stuck in NXT.
Bayley is. She looks like, you know, like she just reminds me of a girl from high school. That's yes. Like what that's I mean, you look at her and you're like, oh, is her gimmick? She's a high school like cheerleader or something. Like, I mean, that's what it looks like.
More like junior high.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Probably. Jeez.
Yeah. No matter how I look at it, that's how I take her gimmick. But one thing I will say, I think the women's matches down at NXT are better.
Absolutely.
I think it's because they're actually wrestlers. They're not models than wrestlers. I'm surprised still. I think that all besides Bayley, because her gimmick, if they put Bayley in a different gimmick, maybe, because I really thought that she was going to somehow come up with the Wyatt family and be a part of that. But saying that Bray Wyatt, you know, brainwashed her, which would have been interesting, but that never happened. That's where I think that it would be okay, but the gimmick itself is not good. That's NXT gimmick. But yeah, Becky Lynch, she can make it. Sasha, Alexa Bliss, I think is the other one. Other than that, I think it's where it stops. By the way, did you like the fact that at Tyler Breeze match that a blonde-haired woman came up and like hugged him?
I'm trying to figure out whether or not that was...
It was a plan.
It had to have been. Because
here's why. I don't remember her name. I don't remember the name. It's going to come to me later. But there was a picture tweeted with Charlotte, her, and Ric Flair. She was in it, and they said her name, and I was like, oh, she's the one that came out, because she was dressed exactly like that. And I was like, oh, jeez. Yeah. But yeah, were you a little disappointed that Solomon Crowe didn't make his appearance on...
Don't care.
Anyway, so apparently I spoiled something for you. Kevin Owens takes out Sami Zayn, and Kevin Owens is the new NXT champion 2 months in.
To the day.
Yes. Shocking and also happy, but questioning.
I'm not that shocked. I was totally okay with this. I think I said before that I thought Kevin Owens was ready, and I still agree. I think Kevin Owens was very ready.
Do you think it's more because of his merch sales?
No. Sami Zayn had amazing merch sales.
I disagree. I think it's because of his merchandise sales. Sami Zayn's
was Dean
good.
Ambrose would be world champion, right?
No. But Kevin Owens down at NXT, and they're selling out of his shirt. As in after the first few days after he appeared, all of his stuff was sold out.
You're talking about his KQ shirt, right?
His KO shirt.
KQ. Because there's a little slash. It's a Q.
Anyways, so that stuff sold out. Well, then he came. Now his shirt's a little bit different, and there's other merchandise that he has. If that stuff sells out again, he's going to be pushed to the main roster right away. I don't think they should do that yet. I think it's the wrong time to, but I have a feeling that they look at Cena and they look at his merch sales, and basically he comes out with new stuff, every other month? And people buy that stuff
left
and right. So they make a buttload of money off it. Well, if the same thing starts happening with Kevin Owens, I bet they're going to start doing the same thing. And that is the wrong way to look at things. Don't look at the merch sales. I mean, you can, but not just, hey, he's only been at NXT for this is his fourth month. Let's bring him up because he has the highest merch sales of anyone.
I disagree. First things first, I don't think it's merch sales. I think that it was good storytelling. You brought in somebody who is very well traveled. You have Finn Balor, you have Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Hideo Itami. These people have been traveling the world, working the indies, working New Japan Pro Wrestling. You know, they've been working everywhere, and they are very much ready for American TV. That's why they are some of the more featured stars. Obviously, Adrian Neville too. That's why they're some of the most featured stars. Kevin Owens is insanely ready, just like Finn Balor is. But Finn Balor, I wouldn't give the title right away to, because I think he has a much better face gimmick that you could have fun with him and Kevin Owens. They have an interesting dynamic where you have Kevin Owens attack him and you have Kevin Owens beat him down just like he did to Sami Zayn. What you do is you build up Kevin Owens to be this unstoppable monster. And you have him just tear through everybody at NXT. And then guess what? You can bring him up to the main roster and have him tear through people there in the same unbeatable fashion until he finally hits a stone, you know, that he's unable to move. I don't think it should be a John Cena, but that's probably who it would be. But you could have it be a mid-card person. You could have it be Dean Ambrose, for example. Have him, Kevin Owens, you know, he battles through and gets it's through the bottom parts of the faces and then hits Dean Ambrose, and Dean Ambrose is the one who takes him down. You know, you can have things like that, and I would be okay with that if they did it with Kevin Owens, because Kevin Owens is a main staple for WWE for the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah, I would actually agree with that. I just wish that they would have given him the title yet. I wish they would have done a stoppage and said, no, this match can't go on anymore. Then say Sami Zayn can't, you know, do it for the next 3 weeks or whatever. And then on the fourth week, then they fight, you know. But he did say he came here to fight, and he took Zayn out. But I also feel bad because Zayn just got the title. Mm-hmm. And then they're like, yeah, we're going to take it off of you after 2 months.
But it's going to make his ascension back to the top that much sweeter. It's not a Daniel Bryan situation, you know. Something that we had talked about with Daniel Bryan and Randy Orton, that whole stupid storyline that they did.
Oh, my gosh.
Daniel Bryan is a 2-time WWE World Heavy, or I'm sorry, WWE champion, having held the title for less than one day. A 2-time, back then, obviously, because, you know, he held it a third time. But I think, yeah, he's held the title 3 times for a total of 60 days. Do you have any idea how stupid that sounds? That is just criminally dumb. And so Sami Zayn holding the title for 60 days, in my opinion, is okay, you know, and he can get that title back. He can win the NXT championship back, and it would be fine. You know, they just... If they had him hold the title for a day, I would totally agree with you. I'd say that's pretty dumb. I think Sami Zayn should have had a title defense in between there, but, you know, he didn't. And so it's okay. You know, it happens. Just, you know, his ascension back to the top needs to be good, though. That's the big thing.
At what point do you actually bring this to SmackDown? This feud?
I think that can spill over to SmackDown right now.
I think I was just thinking about this just when you were talking about it. Why not have Owens and Zayn do, you know, like a opening match at SmackDown, or maybe the mid match on SmackDown, just to see if people actually are going to watch SmackDown? Because I would not be surprised if more people watch SmackDown, as in the rating is really high because of them, and that's the only reason why. Because they're like, wait, the NXT Championship is going to be defended on SmackDown. I got to watch it now.
And I would be okay with that if it was a special thing. You can't do this all the time. Like they had a tag team match. I know an NXT tag team match on Raw, probably 4 months ago now. And it was pretty cool because, you know, you got to see some people that maybe you weren't as exposed to with Sami Zayn and Adrian Neville. And so that was kind of neat to see them. If anything else, you could have it be like, oh, you know, here's NXT champion Kevin Owens taking on Sami Zayn, and have a little package that plays right beforehand talking about their hatred for each other and the feud that's going on. And, you know, watching that package that they had, I loved it. I thought, oh my God, this is great. This is WrestleMania like great. And so great match. I shouldn't say that. It wasn't a great match. It was a good match. These two, I think, have a lot more left in the tank against each other. And so I think that this is not the last that we're going to see of them. I think we're going to see another good match at NXT, and we're going to see them going over to the main roster with this too.
Yeah, I can't wait. Before we close the show out, I just want to say something real quick. Every year we used to get a book. It was the PWI Wrestling Almanac. I was looking forward to this year's 2015. Why? Because I keep buying it every year, you know, because it updates tiles and stuff. Well, they're not doing it anymore. So 2014 was last year. So it's kind of sad because it was nice to get those books. And they started out when they started out, it was kind of a neat thing. And you had to go to your grocery store at first to find it. I'm just sad that they are not doing like an online version of this, at least. I guess there are online ones out there, but a digital one, like a PDF one, where you could spend the $5 and then so you could watch.
I would spend $5 on a PDF, but I get what you're saying, though. You know, it is sad because, you know, we've talked about it every year Although I don't think we talked about last year's because we didn't get them until a little bit later. But we talk about them, and they have very interesting stories that we can go over. And, you know, as we've said before, they have the title histories, and they have everything in there. And, you know, it's kind of sad that we aren't going to be able to do that again.
Unfortunately. Now, do you think that what really killed it was the fact of the internet killed it, or do you think it's...
Oh, yeah, of course. Okay. Internet killed the magazine. The internet has killed so much stuff, so...
But I wish they would still do the book. That's my one thing. Just put out the book, but... Oh, well, my PWI subscription when it ran out, and nothing against the magazine, but you can see everything up to the moment pretty much nowadays. So anyway, so that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast, and I want to thank all of our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And for Aaron Hughes, I am Andrew Hughes, and until next time, we'll see you in the ring.